Hi everyone, welcome to Better Together, an As We podcast. For future reference, As We, as in A-S-W-E, stands for the Alzheimer's Society of Windsor and Essex County. This podcast will feature engaging conversations with guests ranging from community leaders to care partners and persons living with dementia to raise awareness about this disease. You're listening to Better Together, an As We podcast, and this is episode 31. My name is Cindy, and I'm joined today by Bill Bennett. Bill Bennett is a care partner to his wife, Sharon. Thank you so much for being here with me today.
Thank you, Cindy.
This is amazing. I've been trying to get you on the podcast for about a couple months now, I would say.
And longer than that.
Longer, right? But yes. It seems like time's flying by now.
Yes. We're gone all summer long, so things have to get done in the fall and winter.
At what point in your life did you feel like time was just slipping by?
After I got my driver's license.
So what was that like?
When I was 16 years old.
Wow. I honestly feel like since the last 2 years, it's been just flying by. Monday, and then it's already Sunday, and I got to get ready for the work week again. So
until you can get your driver's license, things go really slow. And once you get your driver's license, you're moving at the speed of vehicles.
Why do you think that is? Like,
you can just do so much in so little time when you can travel and move around.
And it's because you have to do everything on your own after that, right?
Pretty much.
Life moves fast, eh, Bill?
Yes, it does.
So I just want to get the audience to know a little bit more about you. I did mention that you are a care partner to your wife, Sharon, but I want to know a little bit more about Bill. Who is Bill as a whole?
Yes, and you gave me the questions, and I scripted my answers. So that,
and that's totally fine.
As a professional engineer, that comes part and parcel with the territory. I'm 69 years old. I was born and raised in London, Ontario, and I'm a retired professional engineer. I have the benefit and been blessed, basically, with a wonderful family. I have my parents all my entire life. They were together. My dad gave me a tremendous work ethic. My mother was a really loving, caring mother. I always knew I was well-loved no matter what I did. I was always... knew I had a place to go, and she loved me. Mm-hmm. I quit high school. Wow. I only had grade 10.
Wow.
Got a job. Actually, it was a good job. High paying, quite well. I was living large for a few years.
Where did you work?
I worked in a union, mm-hmm. and the union money was very good. And I had money for motorcycles and snowmobiles and cars and everything else that comes with it. Mm-hmm. But after a while, I realized that there was more to life than just things you can put gasoline in.
Yeah.
And I undertook upgrading studies to get into Fanshawe College. I went through a three-year program there in civil engineering technology, mm-hmm. graduated from Fanshawe, worked in civil engineering in Saskatchewan, then went back to school and got my degree in engineering. Mm-hmm. And then I went back and I worked 5 years as a structural engineer and municipal engineer, highly technical areas. And after 5 years, I made the move into leadership management of consulting engineering companies. Mm-hmm. And I spent the last part of my basically 35 years running engineering companies, getting the work, doing the work, getting paid for the work, and project management along the way. Mm-hmm. And I retired several years ago.
What an amazing resume. And you did all of that when you quit high school at grade 10, you said?
Yes.
Did you have to finish high school before going into Fanshawe? How did that work?
I upgraded myself by taking courses at night school and working at the same time. So I did math, physics, chemistry, English, mm-hmm. everything that was required to get into Fanshawe College through night school or on my own and writing the tests.
What made you get into engineering?
Well, there's three things for success factors. You need a role model or role models, you need a plan, and you need a mentor. Mm-hmm. I had met some people who were in the construction engineering industry.
Yep.
I looked up to them. I wanted to be just like them. And to be just like them, I had to go get a degree and a diploma.
And you had all of the support from your family, your work, or was it?
Well, no, I quit work, so that was a big deal to quit work and have no money. Yeah. Now I'd save my money, but I quit work because school, it was full time.
Did they have OSAP?
They did, but I was, I worked and saved my money, paid my own way. Mm-hmm. My mother's only rule was, if you if you quit school and work, you have to, and you want to live at home, you got to pay rent. If you want to go to school, you can live at home, room and board free. So I quit school and lived at home.
Good.
Or pardon me, I quit work and lived at home.
Were you, I don't know if you mentioned this, but were you the only child or you had siblings?
No, I have two sisters, two older sisters.
Oh, you were the youngest.
I was the youngest and sort of an afterthought, so I was spoiled.
Wow. So how, your older sisters, how much older are they than you?
Quite significant. My sister, my oldest sister's probably 10 years older than me, and my other sister's about 5 years older than me.
Did you, were you close to them, or you were just...
No, there was a lot of sibling rivalry, and I was seen as the spoiled young boy.
Your parents have kids every 5 years then?
Sort of, yeah.
Right? Yeah. And are they still living in London, or...?
No, my parents died a long time ago.
No, your sisters.
Oh, my sisters. One is living in Victoria, the other lives in Ontario.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. I didn't know you were from London.
Yes.
That's amazing. What made you move down to Windsor then?
Well, after during London and during college, I took my first job in Regina, Saskatchewan, mm-hmm. with a consulting engineering company out there. Not necessarily because I wanted to go out west, but because of the engineering company was very good, very progressive. And I always went back and worked for them. And then I ended up moving to Alberta, mm-hmm. southern Alberta and Calgary. And then I had an opportunity to come back to Ontario. My mother was still living. She had health issues. Mm-hmm. My wife, Sharon, was from Ontario. There was a lot of reasons to come back at that time, and I had an option to pick which city we wanted to live in, and because the company I was with had plans to move into the United States, Windsor made a lot of sense because we're so close to Detroit and the United States.
So did the company run out of Detroit or from Windsor?
It was actually ran out of Toronto, but they had offices throughout North America.
Oh, and then you like the fact that, Windsor was a border city?
Yes.
Nice. Okay, and Sharon, your wife, is she from London or?
She's from a small community north of London, Dashwood, you know, population 400.
It's called Dashwood?
Yes.
Dashwood is still thriving.
Okay. But it's more of, it had a bit of an industrial base and agricultural, but, you know, it's turned into a sort of a small borough of maybe Exeter and.
Okay, I know Exeter.
Grand Bend area.
Oh, Grand Bend area. Okay, yeah. Perfect.
So I think it's 8 miles from Grand Bend.
And she still has family there?
Yes.
Okay. And yep. Do you guys visit often or?
Well, we do, but, you know, as we're getting older and, you know, we're into the next generations of a family and they've moved out to other places, whether it's Toronto or Guelph or.
You know what? I had an epiphany the other day and I was thinking about it. When you have a family, you don't think about all of the moving parts of having a family. Like, you raise them. And then they have their own family, their kids have their own family, and eventually everybody just finds their own, piece of family is what I'm trying to say. I don't know how to explain it, but, like, everyone goes off into their own.
Yes, they go off in their own direction.
Yeah.
And we talked about time at the very beginning.
Yeah.
Time speeds up, and they move and move around with careers and family mm-hmm. and other interests. And, yes, we're a global nation now, not just a... living in a small agricultural community.
Yeah, it's wild to think about because you really don't think about that stuff when you raise a family, right? You think you raise them, they're going to stay near you and raise their kids near you. But obviously there's lots of factors and...
Careers pretty much control. Being in civil engineering, you had to go where the projects were.
Yeah, wow. And then you moved back to Ontario. Did you guys have any kids yet?
Oh yeah, we had three children. One was born in Saskatchewan, two were born in Alberta.
Okay.
And when they came back here, we moved to the Kingsville area, mm-hmm. and they went into public school and high school. And since then, we have two boys and a girl, and they've done very well for themselves. And
you had two boys and a girl.
Yeah.
So the opposite of what your parents had.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Sharon and I did a good job. They're a really good family. We have a very strong family unit. We're mm-hmm. again very fortunate and blessed in that area.
Do they live in Ontario as well?
Two live close by, and one is in Edmonton, Alberta.
And okay, Edmonton. Okay, wow. And grandchildren?
Six granddaughters.
Yes, we remember this.
Yes.
You take them, or they go shopping with Sharon, and you pay for it.
Yes, correct.
I still remember that.
Yeah. It's like Christmas time. My present is I get the bill. My visa bill.
So all your kids had daughters.
Yes.
And do you think are they done having kids?
Yes, I think.
Yeah. So six granddaughters. That's amazing.
Yes.
I would love to see you with all of your six granddaughters.
They're all characters.
Do you have a time of the year where you guys are all together at the same time?
We're very fortunate as a family unit. We do get together, and my daughter is very important to her. She celebrates special occasions, birthdays, anniversaries, graduation for the kids, mm-hmm. If they receive awards at school. And she hosts everybody at her place or at our place. So we're very fortunate to stay together. Our children are each other's best friends also. So that's... We're very fortunate in that area.
Yeah, you raised them well.
Well, we'll take some credit for
no,
that.
No, you did. Yeah. How did you and Sharon meet?
So Sharon came from the small community to mm-hmm. attend Fanshawe College in a trade, and she lived with her sister two doors down, and I noticed her, and she noticed me, and we started dating. We dated for 5 years. She was with me while I was upgrading to get into college, mm-hmm. and we got married in the last year of college. And we've been married for 45 years.
45 years. Wow. 45. How old were you guys when you met?
Oh, I think time was moving really fast then. I'm going to guess 19 or 20.
Wow. And it's 19, 20, and then you guys met, dated for 5 years, and then got married after
I think I was married when I was about 24.
And what did Sharon do for work?
She was a hairdresser mm-hmm. up until the point in time that hairdressing requires working Fridays and Saturdays. And that's when Bill went to play. So the hairdressing didn't last very long because she wasn't available to join me.
Was it hairdressing back then that you only worked like Monday to Thursday, really? And then the Friday,
no,
Saturday, Sunday?
Well, the special occasions were weddings or special occasions happening on a Friday or a Saturday. So hairdressing required work Friday and Saturday.
And sometimes Sunday.
Whatever the occasions were that people had to go to.
Oh, wow. And then so it slowly faded out.
That didn't fit well with my schedule.
Yeah. Well, and then she just
She transferred with me when we moved around. Nice. And worked at the Royal Bank for 33 years.
Nice. Wow. That's my bank. Yeah. And then Sharon ended up retiring from
the Royal Bank.
Royal Bank.
She's got Royal Bank blue blood.
You guys don't live in Kingsville right now, do you?
Yes.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, we've been there for almost 25 years now.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought it was somewhere else in the county that you guys lived. When did Sharon get her diagnosis? Or when did you start seeing signs?
Yeah, so I've sort of documented that. Sharon's mother had dementia. Mm-hmm. Anecdotally, we would hear stories at family events about her side of the family, and they used terms then which we don't use today, but they used terms like senile.
Yeah.
They get old, they get crazy.
Yeah.
We heard some stories like that from Sharon's mother's side. Mm-hmm. So we believe there was a pattern on her mother's side already of dementia, only using terms that we don't use today. And they didn't know anything about, you know, Alzheimer yeah. or the effect. It was just you got senile, old, and crazy. So her mother had dementia. Sharon's two sisters have dementia, mm-hmm. and her brother, and they all succumb to the disease of dementia. So
four siblings?
Yes.
Four kids? Okay.
Yes. Sharon had another sister which died prematurely, you know, when she's in her 30s, so we don't know her situation. Mm-hmm. So there was always the suspicion that if your family history on one side, your mother, two sisters, and brother had it, mm-hmm. there was a probability, a higher risk that Sharon would have it. And indeed, that was the case. And we noticed it many, many years ago. I first probably diarized it about 2014,
wow.
that I could really suspect something was going on, but even before that. So dementia doesn't just start. It starts a long time before. Mm-hmm. It takes a long time before we recognize it, as you know,
yeah.
and it progresses at different rates. So when Sharon's two sisters passed away, her mother and her brother, and we went as long as we really could, you know, for Sharon before we thought there might be some health and safety issues for her. And, you know, people were starting to notice something different. We were very fortunate to have a good family doctor in Kingsville. And so he helped work. We worked with him. He got us into the memory clinic mm-hmm. at the family health unit in Leamington. A wonderful group of people, a wonderful process. Dr. Sheila Horn runs that. And so to have a general practitioner who has all that experience with dementia, she worked with a group to diagnose Sharon. So our family doctor recognized it. We recognized it. She was diagnosed through the memory clinic, including Alzheimer's Society, mm-hmm. the social workers, pharmacists, registered nurses. Then we were fortunate enough to get a local neurologist, Dr. Winger. He had a diagnosis for it. From there, Dr. Winger talked to the London Health Sciences and recognized the possibility of the hereditary, the family history. We were of interest to them. Mm-hmm. They contacted me. We went through several discussions because they're very cautious in what they do. They recognized Sharon was a candidate to be genetically tested. She provided a sample. They genetically tested her, and it came back positive for the GRN frontal temporal gene. Mm-hmm. Just if I can find the exact word for it here. Yeah, it's the GRN-FTD, which is the frontotemporal dementia. Mm-hmm. When you read that and some other things that come along with it, when you read their report and what it affects, it might have been a little easier if they said what it doesn't affect, because they basically say it's everything.
Everything, yeah.
Yeah, it affects everything. So that diagnosis came in. So we've had it confirmed, you know, from family history, from our own family experience, general practitioner, memory clinic, neurologist, and the London Health Science Center.
Before you went about receiving a diagnosis, you and your family members noticed changes in her behavior and personality. Did she notice it herself?
Well, Sharon lived through her mother's disease, mm-hmm. her sister's disease, and her brother's disease. So she lived through that from the very beginning to the very end. So she was well aware that she may be a candidate mm-hmm. to have inherited whatever her family history had given her. Mm-hmm. So she was aware, and quite aware all along, that she was a potential candidate to inherit that disease.
You guys were having these conversations way before her diagnosis then?
Yes. It's partly a blessing because the family had seen that through the rest of the family, so it didn't come necessarily as a surprise. Mm-hmm. But the diagnosis really confirmed what we knew, and I can't understate the importance of getting a diagnosis.
An early one at that.
Earlier is better, mm-hmm. and the diagnosis is very important because it kicks in a whole bunch of other support services that you couldn't get otherwise. Mm-hmm. The other part is the diagnosis helps the doctor do testing to make sure that it is dementia and not related to some other medical condition which could be causing similar effects. So the health professionals did their job to do further testing to cancel out other things, CAT scan, testing, ultrasounds, MRIs, and various testing to make sure it was related to dementia and not some other curable disease or condition.
Yeah. And I want to mention what Bill's talking about is you can receive a symptom of dementia from UTIs or changes in your medication that need to be fixed, having your eyesight or your hearing checked, because that can throw off your balance, coordination, all those things that could contribute to Alzheimer's disease or dementia. So that's what Bill's talking about. He received a definite diagnosis.
Yes, there are other symptoms which make people think there's dementia, mm-hmm. or there's just certain things related to aging.
Yeah.
And I still go downstairs and forget why I went downstairs, but I know it's not dementia.
Yeah.
That's just, I was thinking it was something else.
And you have a lot going on throughout your days. You know, you're constantly worrying about yourself, but also, you know, Sharon's well-being. So that is normal. And I wanted to reiterate that Alzheimer's disease and dementia is not a normal part of aging. That's completely different. And you mentioned that you were saying, you know, back then when her mom and her grandma had it, people were just saying that they were senile, they were getting older. It's all part about, you know, the aging process, but it's not true at all.
That's correct.
Right. How did the diagnosis change your day-to-day living?
So I have an interesting... First, I'd like to say that the people that I've met with dementia, it's like bad things happen to good people. They're not bad people.
No.
They tend to be the best of the people. And it's unfortunate that the disease affects these really good people. So so bad things happen to good people.
Mm-hmm.
The second is that it is a family disease. It affects the family, the friends, everybody. It's not just the person with it, but everybody, right down to the community, because mm-hmm. the community lives with that person. And the third is that I know there's other people out there with other diseases, whether it's cancer, a whole host of the people and caregivers. So mm-hmm. I'm not the only one out there. There's a whole bunch of us, and we all have similar problems. But having said that, how it changed our lives, the metaphor that I would use is up until the point in time of dementia, if you looked at your life like a jigsaw puzzle, and you've got a box, and it's got a picture with all the pieces put together, and you have a border, and the pieces fit together, and you have a clear picture. With the diagnosis of dementia, it's like somebody has taken that puzzle apart. They've blurred or wiped off the front of the box so you can't see the picture anymore. They've taken pieces of the puzzle away. They've ripped up corners off the puzzle, damaged them, put them all back in the box, shaken it up, opened it up, and said to the person with dementia, the care provider, family and friends, now put this back together the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden you come to the realization, you can't put it back together. It will never go back to the way it was. This is what it is. That's the reality of the situation. So I use that metaphor to explain to people what it's like to be diagnosed with dementia.
Mm-hmm.
Your puzzle, your jigsaw puzzle has been torn up, ripped apart, blurred, shaken up, and it will never be put back together.
So, after you saying that, how do you move forward? How do you, Bill, meeting your wife at such a young age and building this life with her, how do you move forward?
Well, the first thing is by informing, I feel more comfortable with predictive testing, with understanding the situation, with informing myself, and knowledge is helpful for me. Knowledge provides some level of control, some level of understanding. The knowledge also allows me to form some opinions based on some sound advice rather than the scuttlebutt that people might say who know nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
So the Alzheimer's Society, the practitioners that we've met, the medical people, they all help me inform myself, and I in turn inform our children, and I know they do some work on their own. So I would say the best way to handle it for us has been by knowledge and informing ourselves and being able to make some opinions, and then understanding where we are right now and what will be coming down the pipeline. There's a couple other things that have been helpful. The Alzheimer's Society diagnosis allowed us to tap into Alzheimer, and having a one-point contact through Sandra
mm-hmm.
has been very helpful, because we don't deal with an entire organization, we deal with one person.
Yep.
So that's been very helpful. But also the entire team, the neurologist, the Family Health Center, we deal with services in Leamington.
Mm-hmm.
I call them from time to time and get assistance. There's follow-up calls. So that has worked out very well. Two things which provide maybe some other ways of dealing with it is we know we're not in it alone, and we know there's other people around to help. Two things that offer solace sometimes, and I say this and you may be well aware, but the Serenity Prayer is a very succinct writing,
mm-hmm.
you know, that says, give me the ability to decide to know what I can change, what I can't change, and the wisdom to know the difference. And then Desiderata as the poem is also a very good poem. So people will find strength in other people's readings and writings.
Do you know the whole poem?
I have it here.
Let's read it out to everyone.
Well, there's two.
This is the engineer, Bill. He is super organized.
Yes.
For those of you that are listening through Spotify or Amazon Music, he has a binder that is literally color-coded with sticky notes, and there's highlighting, there's neat writing, the most neat writing I've ever seen. But this is the engineer. This is who Bill Bennett is. Very well organized. I love it.
And this is what helps me
manage
it. And I do meet people who are in a similar situation, and I recommend that they, if it works for them, to educate themselves and get knowledge. I say this as a secular thing, so I don't say this as a religious part, but it says, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So there's certain things in dementia that we cannot change, and there's certain things we can manage and deal with.
Go placidly, admit the noise and the haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible, without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even to the dull and the ignorant. They too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexatious. To the spirit, if you compare yourself with others, you may become vain or bitter, for always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself. Enjoy your achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your own career, however humble. It is a real possession in the changing fortunes of time. Exercise caution in your business affairs, for the world is full of trickery. But let this not blind you to what virtue there is. Many persons strive for high ideals, and everywhere life is full of heroism. Be yourself, especially do not feign affection. Neither be cynical about love, for in the face of all aridity and disenchantment, it is a perennial as the grass. Wow. Take kindly the counsel of the years, gracefully surrendering the things of youth. Nurture your strength of spirit to shield you in sudden misfortune, but do not distress yourself with dark imaginings. Many fears are born of fatigue and loneliness. Beyond a wholesome discipline, be gentle with yourself. You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, be at peace with God. Whatever you conceive him to be, and whatever your labors and aspirations, in the noisy confusion of life, keep peace in your soul. With all its shame, drudgery, and broken dreams, it is still a beautiful world. Be cheerful and strive to be happy.
Written in 1927.
Wow. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners would appreciate hearing that. Gave me goosebumps.
You can find some strength in other people's readings and writings. So.
Yeah, I love that. Hey, listeners, my call to action for all of you. How can you help? Educate yourself and encourage others to do the same. Refer your circle of friends and family to our services. Support our events and fundraising campaigns. And let's keep talking about dementia. Listen to new episodes on the last Friday of every month on our YouTube channel, Alzheimer Windsor. Don't forget to subscribe. Our podcasts are also available on Spotify and Amazon Music. Helpful for today, hope for tomorrow, and remember, we are better together. Thank you so much, Bill.
Thank you.